evening and welcome to From the Frontline. Today we will continue on our topic of can we trust the experts? And particularly today we will be talking about censorships and Facebook, George Orwell 1984, Facebook, the cancelling of events, freedom of speech, the so-called Wuhan virus. But the first question that I definitely have is specifically with Facebook. What is going on with the censorship there? It's even happened with you, with things that you've posted.
Even the last 24 hours, it's extraordinary. You've got these fact checkers. I don't know what a fact checker is. I think it's another word for censor. This is much like George Orwell's 1984, where you had thought police who prosecuted thought crimes, and some people end up in Facebook jail, or they get deplatformed and banned. And even, for example, you get Twitter suspending the privileges, as they're called, Twitter privileges for President Donald Trump. And he's got this massive following, and they would regularly be censoring things. You can get Donald Trump makes a comment, and next thing on the comment he's made, they have, you know, fact checker finds us false or is lacking context. And unbelievable that within seconds you post something. It could be from a doctor, a panel of doctors like Doctors for Truth and so on, and they are frontline doctors dealing with the people in these crises. And it's this panel of international medical doctors and experts, and they come out with some comment or observation. And next thing you know, that it's blocked, it's deplatformed, or some so-called fact checker, anonymous. Who is this fact checker? Here we know that Dr. So-and-so and Professor so-and-so said this, and here's this documentary that's been produced by these people tracking down the origin of the Wuhan virus and so on. Experts, generals, virologists, bacteriologists, multiple doctorate people who spent their lifetime in this field. And next thing, some anonymous fact checker says, you know, this is false or fake, and they deplatform, or they warn you, or they threaten to take down your site if you dare to share this with anyone. Absolutely extraordinary. So today we've got fact blockers or fact deniers, fact censors, fact selectors, fact manipulators, who call themselves fact checkers. But I don't think they've done any checking, because what's their qualifications? Who are they? Why are they anonymous? And how could they check some of these facts out within seconds of you posting it? I mean, how much checking is that? You might have done months or years of research and put the results up there. And within seconds, some censor from Facebook, some Zuckerberg thought police are jumping around there and determining whatever happened to difference of opinion, or iron sharpening iron, or marketplace of free ideas. And surely you should have a free marketplace of ideas. And just like it's good to have competition in economics, why can't we have competition when it comes to ideas and ideologies and debates and issues?
And another recent issue that happened was a Trump rally, this Million March, which happened recently, and Facebook cancelled the events and sent a message to all of the people who agreed to attend, saying the event was cancelled.
Yes, I mean, that's really even worse than censorship. That's total dishonesty, and it's a form of psychological warfare. So, for example, there's this woman who is in charge of the Women for America First. Women for America First, she started an event on Facebook called the Million MAGA March, MAGA standing for Make America Great Again, the MAGA, Million MAGA March on Washington, D.C. for this last Saturday. So that would have been Saturday the 14th. And she got within 48 hours, hundreds of thousands of people signing up for will come to the event. So it had gone over the 600,000 mark. And next thing, Facebook cancelled the event, deplatformed it, and sent a notification to everyone who had said that they were coming, those hundreds of thousands, saying the event has been cancelled. Not that we don't approve or something like that, but it's been cancelled, like the organizers have cancelled, which is totally dishonest. This is sabotage on a high order. It didn't stop a good million or so turning up. In fact, seeing the pictures, staggering. But even when the people were there, I had friends in America who were posting pictures saying, we were trying to broadcast this live, but Facebook blocked us from broadcasting it live. And there was all sorts of people who were struggling, and then going up, having to get some pictures, but it couldn't go live, and having to get off on different systems. So to think that Twitter and Google and Facebook, big tech, are going to the extent of censoring and deplatforming, There was, for example, these frontline medical doctors who stood in Washington, D.C. and gave their observations that the lockdowns actually haven't helped and they are causing more harm medically than good because of all people are missing out on other key treatments like cancer and TB, for example, and that there's no evidence that either masks working and so on and so forth, or that the coronavirus is even as serious as they've said, because their definition of people dying of the coronavirus is people dying with the coronavirus. So if you, even if you died of an alternate cause, like old age or pre-existing condition or a car crash, if you had the coronavirus, then they said it was a coronavirus death, and that's their definition, official. And so these doctors were pointing out that, in fact, this year, according to the officials, nobody's dying of old age and nobody's dying of the common cold or the seasonal flu. Everyone's dying of coronavirus because there's a financial incentive given to hospitals to say that they've padded the amount of people who've died of coronavirus, or with coronavirus would be more accurate and honest, because then they get more money from the health department, the Wuhan Health Organization, as people are calling WHO these days. So there's an enormous amount of, we've never seen in our lifetime, so much censorship, propaganda, interference, and frankly, psychological warfare, where groups that are meant to be these global big tech mega platforms, they're meant to be just neutral platforms, but now they're censoring, selecting, choosing, and even directly interfering, like to actually cancel an event that hundreds of thousands of people were supporting, and in fact something like 1 million turned out to, in spite of their actual interference. So I think it's fair to say that big media and big tech has lost all credibility. Obviously, a lot of people on the ground realize that, and to think that 1 million people could have turned out to Washington, D.C. at short notice despite the interference shows we don't believe what big tech's saying, and we don't believe what big government's saying. We don't believe these so-called fact checkers.
But then on that, how can we discern truth from error? You know, if you're an everyday Joe who listens to CNN and BBC, etc., if you believe everything that the modern liberal big tech, big mainstream media is saying, how can you tell? If that's all you're fed, what do you do?
Well, first of all, there is track record. So in your daily life, you've learned there's some friends that you know, they say what they mean what they say. You can take them at the word. They'll do what they promise. So you know some people are super reliable. And you know other people are not reliable. There's people who, you know, I'll be there, you can depend on me, and they're not. And the people who promise things and it's not, or the people who say, you know, no lies, genuine, I was there, I saw, and you know, this person's a fibber and they just make up things and exaggerate and it's not true. So in the same way as we would evaluate people we know as reliable, unreliable, complete and utter liars, con men and so on, I think we've got to look at a lot of these and look at the CNN. Is it the Clinton News Network? Is it the Communist News Network? CNN has no credibility. It's fake news, to quote the president. And BBC, friends of mine in Britain, I call it the Bolshevik Broadcasting Corporation.
On that, I'm going to interrupt you there. Let's say a skeptic comes along and says, no, how can you say that the BBC or CNN is incorrect? Okay. Why would you...
Okay, well, just take their polls. They continually broadcast these polls. Remember, 2016, Hillary Clinton's going to win in a landslide. Clinton is going to win, 98% chance of winning. In fact, Trump's a joke. He's got no chance. He's not even got a 2% chance of winning. That was what the Washington Post was saying on the day of the election, 2016. That all the polls show, you know, 98% Americans are going to be voting for Hillary and so on and so forth. The polls were wrong then. They were wrong now. There's massive, overwhelming landslide for Biden. You know, Trump's got no support and so on and so forth. The polls were wrong then. They're wrong now. They're wrong all the time. Take in Britain, the BBC. Overwhelming majority of British people are for staying in the EU, against Brexit. But the polls have been proven to have no credibility. They say they're doing polls, but how are they doing these polls? These polls are so divorced from reality, so out of proportion. Well, just take what were they saying back in March this year to justify the lockdowns. Millions of people are going to die of the coronavirus. And they were showing us images of Wuhan in China with people just dropping dead, lying all over the place in the streets, and these men in hazmat suits coming along and removing these bodies that are so highly contagious, lying all over the place on the streets. Has anyone seen this anywhere in the world? It was rigged. I mean, that's just fake news, and they've proven that they were broadcasting on BBC and CNN over and over images of, you know, these overwhelmed hospitals in France and in Italy and in New York and so on. And they're using the same images, and people saying, that's not an American hospital, that's not a French hospital. They were taking fake news and broadcasting it. All sorts of things were faked. And this hysteria, which now people have to look back and say, you know, millions of people haven't died, and a little in hundreds of millions. And this has been blown out of proportion, but they panic people with false projections and false predictions, and their prescriptions are also false. They said, you have to wear the mask and the distance and all this sort of thing, and that'll protect you. But now they're finding that the people who are getting it irrespective of whether they've been doing masks and so on. It makes no difference. In fact, countries that haven't had any lockdown, like Sweden, haven't done any worse than countries that had a hard lockdown, like Spain or Britain, for that matter.
And then moving on into, because I know we've been hearing about is the coronavirus, something that was recently everyone was talking about and it was the thoughts of everyone's mind is the election in America and the so-called non-fraudulent election, that they would call it. The mail-in ballots being the correct way to do things to make sure no one gets the coronavirus. And yet, when the media was saying that Biden won, Biden supporters are in the streets without their masks, celebrating, congregating. And yet, even days before that, saying, no, you mustn't assemble outside, and these Trump rallies are just causing more viruses and such. The hypocrisy.
Yes, it's okay to gather for BLM riots, okay for looting, it's okay for Antifa riots, it's okay for celebrating a Biden announced win, whether it's true or not, and swapping champagne bottles, drinking straight out the bottle tops with one another, sharing. So no need for social distancing or hygiene when it comes to those sort of things. But they're accusing, for example, Trump of spreading the disease when his people gather by the millions. Of course, isn't it interesting, Biden never even campaigned. He couldn't fill a parking lot or a boardroom. And here's Trump filling stadiums and streets and having sometimes more people in the city's population gathering in supporting him. So it must have come from far and wide. Super successful. And are we meant to believe the people who continually giving two sides of the story, different perspectives, I should say, always double standards? So how is it possible that the same people who were concerned about the integrity of the election beforehand, suddenly could, the moment the election's not even over, saying there's been no fraud. And the moment somebody alleges fraud or reports fraud, they immediately say, fake. There's no fraud. Now, how can they know that? In fact, so much has been proven. Thousands of cases have been proven. There's so many cases of the dead voting, of people born in 1850 voting and 1823 voting, and they all vote Democrat, interestingly. And the amount of fraud is colossal, and yet to say our fact checkers have proven this false, well, how? Who's the fact checker? How did they prove it false? Where's the footnotes? Where's the reference? Where's the facts? And yet, we're meant to trust, take Snopes. I mean, who's Snopes? Do these people have any investigative experience or training? Do they have any credibility when it comes to medical science or virology or bacteriology or, for that matter, electoral fraud? And to think that you've got this arrogant bunch of people who are able to come up and say, we have checked and we have found this, that, and the other, but they don't even say who has checked, how they've checked, where they've checked, what their references are. You can quote chapter and verse. You take this excellent video that they wouldn't allow to be broadcast, tracking down the origin of the Wuhan virus. Absolutely brilliant. You could see generals, top leaders, professors, bacteriology, virology, frontline doctors, people in China, Wuhan, people who knew about the bacteriological warfare factory out of which this came from Wuhan, which is, by the way, the largest bacteriological warfare laboratory in the world, in Wuhan. And just by sheer coincidence. And also the first place that G5 was rolled out, but don't worry about that. That's completely irrelevant. Keep moving. Nothing to see here. And immediately this film that took months to produce, which has got all these experts, and next thing you've got some creep like Snopes saying fake news. How do they know? Just about everything we broadcast on our CNN, BBC and so on is fake news. Just take, for example, all these faked atrocities that always happened conveniently in a country that America wants to bomb. So when Obama wanted to bomb Syria, suddenly somebody came out with evidence of a gas attack. Well, and then they send missiles in, they kill a whole lot of people and bomb a whole lot of Syria. And the investigation is done. They found, that gas actually came from Turkey, a NATO member, and it was provided by Saudi Arabia, American allies. And on every occasion that there's been this gas warfare, you know, why would the government in Syria, who's winning the war on the ground, suddenly do the one thing that, you know, you can incinerate people with phosphorus like Israel does. That's not a problem. You can use all kinds of warfare methods banned by the Geneva Convention, the Hague Convention. That's not a problem. But gas, that is really, really unacceptable. That hits a nerve somehow. You know, phosphorus, which burns on your skin and no amount of water can put out. You know, you can't stop phosphorus burning through your skin except by cutting the skin off, literally. That's the only way to stop phosphorus burning. That's banned. But people can use phosphorus all the time. America uses phosphorus bombs. Israel uses phosphorus bombs. That's fine. But the gas, every time it's been found, it's been an own goal, done as a false flag operation. And there's so many false flag operations proven where the West actually did the atrocity, blamed it on the people who want to bomb them. Later it comes out that didn't, but events passed now. So why should we trust people who've got a track record of lying? And false flag operations is just part of it. Agent provocateurs are others. Sometimes you get these governments that will actually initiate a terrorist attack on themselves or on their own people to justify what they wanted to do anyway. So the fact checkers are a bunch of frauds.
But why? Why are they doing this?
Well, this is an election year in America, and obviously they wanted the Biden-Harris Democratic platform to win.
But even before.
Right.
Even with... What is their... Okay, so for this specific one...
Okay, what's the big agenda?
Yes, I mean, for this specific one, we can say they didn't want Trump to be in office and how the deep states is involved with the Democrats, etc. But what is their big agenda? And I know that the common reply, at least amongst deep conservatives, is the second phase of the revolution and how people are being used for cannon fodder. But what is their ultimate goal?
Globalization. The big picture is, in fact, you can turn to Revelation 13 and you see there is a goal warned about in the Bible of a satanic goal of a one world government, a one world economic system, a one world interfaith religious system. So one world religion, one world economy, one world government. And that is a mark of the beast. And that is something that the Bible warns you about. And when globalism is more and more and more and more power to more and more centralized government with less and less freedom for the individual. Now, just look what happened this year. We were able to have people stampeded by a completely fake scare where they were telling you hundreds of millions of people are going to die worldwide. Millions of people are going to die in your country from this. We have to lock down. You've got to commit complete economic suicide. You've got to hide in your home. You've got to shelter in place because otherwise, if you go out in the streets, you're going to die. And this was the panic they put all over the world. Well, we didn't know better. And so initially people went, well, let's give them the benefit of the doubt. Well, personally, I completely disbelieved it from the very beginning. But still, within 3 weeks, it was quite clear that this was a fraud. And so, but in the name of this virus, they've been able to take away your freedom of movement, freedom of thought, freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom of religion, freedom of worship, freedom of conscience. All of these freedoms have been suspended, even though that's illegal by the constitutions of many of the countries we're talking about, such as in South Africa, any law that violates the basic freedoms in our Bill of Rights is invalid and is no law at all and should not be obeyed. Now, our high courts even said that. And yet people have continued to adhere to this out of fear. Governments sell fear because they want to present themselves as the savior. So the ultimate goal, in a word, is globalism. And you can see what's going on here. Because what they've been able to do in this whole thing of this pandemic, crisis, lockdown, is kill small business and the small man and a family business and a family farm and so on. But who's survived? Big business and big government and big tech. And so they are getting to a point where more and more people are dependent on the government just to survive, because they've killed your own businesses. You're no longer self-sufficient, able to feed yourself and your family, because your business has been crushed by the lockdown, which makes people more dependent on government. And now, if you don't get government handouts, you can't live. But the next step is, government handouts don't come free. There's always some kind of a hook and
price that you need to pay.
There's price. And one of the fine print requirements is you will have to take a vaccine. And they're trying to push a mandatory vaccine. Now, who knows what's in these vaccines?
Well, before we even go on to that, I just want to know, how come there was never a requirement for vaccines for any other disease? When you had German measles, when you had the Spanish flu, when you had the Zika virus, even the normal common flu, which kills more people than corona will ever, even on a daily average.
Yeah.
Cancer, I mean, that's something very important. Colossal. AIDS, Ebola. No vaccine requirements for that, but now suddenly for this one, a virus that they quote-unquote know nothing about. That's why there are such
which
regulations.
Which years of testing they
exactly
claim.
But for that specific one, you need a vaccine.
Well, what's extremely disturbing here is there's a lot of, what do we call it, conflict of interest. So, for example, Bill Gates Foundation has the monopoly on all sorts of vaccines, and he wants to make it mandatory. Now, imagine if something's mandatory and it costs each of you so many hundred each, say, let's just take the corona test, which is notoriously unreliable. One person decided to test and he got four separate tests in four separate places. Two of the tests, he had coronavirus positive. Two came back negative. So the same person, same time, four tests, two positive, two negative. Now, he did this to just test the reliability and prove the fact that these are not reliable. And there's famously the president of Tanzania sent samples from a goat and so on and chicken, and it all came back, and one was from a papaya, and came back that they all had the coronavirus. So he laughed off the whole thing, closed down the World Health Organization, kicked them out of Tanzania, ended the lockdown, said this is one big fraud. So there are a few leaders who've done this sort of thing, and are like the president of Belarus.
You won't see that in the media. You won't
it's
see
not in the
that
mass companies. Media, no. Not acceptable. So the vaccine, just take this. This vaccine is so terrifying that you've got to commit economic suicide, hide in your home and so on, until we can get you a vaccine which consists of some of the virus injected into your mainstream. If this virus is so deadly, why do I want to inject some of it into my body? Because that's what the vaccine is. And these vaccines are made with parts of the DNA of aborted babies. And there's who knows what's in it. But this is the most disturbing of all. The people like Bill Gates, who are producing the vaccines in their laboratories, have pushed through the US Congress and many European Union countries too, a law that takes away all their responsibility. It alleviates them of any legal responsibility for disability, paralysis, death, anything that may come from the virus. So normally you have a responsibility for the consequence of your product, such as when people were taking thalidomide to end morning sickness in the time when my mother was pregnant with me. And thalidomide, while it dealt with morning sickness, but the babies were born horribly deformed without legs and arms and whatever. And so they had to pay vast amounts of compensation. But now a law's been passed indemnifying vaccine producers against any suing if a person gets more sick or paralyzed or dead as a result of the vaccine. Now, if you believe in your product so well, why would you want to indemnify yourself against any financial and legal liability?
But then moving on, I know we were changing topics quite quickly, and again, we were going back to coronavirus, but what about climate change? This is something, it's definitely been covered a bit by coronavirus, but how many times have they predicted 1989 and etc., the world's going to end? The ice caps are going to melt, the polar bears are going to die, we're all going to die, we're all going to be underwater, the Earth's core is going to melt and we're all going to burn.
Well, we've got this prophecy from Al Gore, who claimed he invented the internet, but Al Gore said that by 2013 there won't be any ice left at the pole, at North or South Pole, and all the major cities of the world will be underwater because of the melting of the ice caps. 2013.
Which
is 7 years ago.
No, but even before that.
Hasn't happened.
This has been happening since the 80s.
Oh, yes. Well, actually, if you go back even further, when I was growing up in the 1970s, the big scare was the new Ice Age. No, the big guy, it was Ice Age. Ice Age is coming. Forget global warming. In the 1970s, was all, we're heading into a new Ice Age. Everything's going to be frozen over. The equator's going to be, they're going to be ice skating at the equator, and it just, everything's going to get frozen. Everyone's going to die of the new Ice Age. That was the panic. And I remember sitting watching documentary films about this, and you'd even go to the cinema, and we used to have newsreels before a major film came on.
Well, would you even be able to call it news?
Well, it was obviously propaganda and views, but this is the sort of thing coming out from Reuters and so on. And a new Ice Age is coming. And they had people panicked over the Ice Age.
And even in the year 2000, they said that once it goes from 1999 and everything had to change back to zero, as I said,
Y2K.
Planes were going to fall out of the sky and computers were going to crash and the world was going to...
It was serious, serious. Throughout the 1990s, and as we approached 1999 and 31st of December 1999, there was absolute panic around the world that everything computerized was going to fail. The moment it clicked to the 00, suddenly planes would fall out of the sky, cars would crash, your air conditioner would stop working, everything would stop working, people's pacemakers would stop, people would fall dead in the street. All sorts of things would happen because of this computer glitch that we're going to move from 99 to 00. And it's going to stop everything computerized from your water, your electricity, whatever. It totaled, and then you're going to have complete chaos, total power failures, rioting everywhere, no closed-circuit TV cameras work, your telephones aren't going to work, nothing's going to work. And there was a lot of people around the world who believed this. And we took basic precautions that I believe you've always got to take. You know, had everything from generators and our water harvesting off the roof, and we had extra security and we'd stockpile things. But I was skeptical about the level, but I always believe you should be ready for crisis anyway. As we've just seen, we just went through a crisis where you had to stand long queues just to get anything from the shops, and some products weren't even allowed to be sold and so on. So it's wise to be prepared anyway for, because social upheaval, unrest can happen at short notice, and short just can happen. But Y2K, anyone who can remember back to 99, it was beyond worldwide hysteria. And then there's the people, you know, the rapture and the end of the world. And so you've had this paranoia too. In cases where people were putting up billboards, how the end was coming multiple times through my life, but the most recent I remember is 2012. 2012 world was going to end. And there was the Mayan calendar, which ended at 2012, and that was the end of the world. And they had big time films about it. And you know, interesting, the Mayans could predict the end of the world centuries away, but they couldn't see the Spanish coming, who were going to end their world, so as they knew it. So all of this was bizarre, but some people took it so seriously, they had their animals euthanized because they didn't want their pets to be around when this happened. People ran up debts because they thought they wouldn't have to pay them. People spent the last days of October 2012, which was heading into the end of the world, living in five-star hotels and running up bills that they'd never have to pay because obviously, you know, they're not going to be there to pay because everything's going to collapse. And there's all kinds of insanity. I mean, so some people take it that seriously. And all of this comes from the experts. Experts are predicting, as long as I've been alive, which is 60 years, I've heard experts predicting overpopulation, running out of water, everything's going to freeze up, we're going to have absolute heat waves, nobody's going to be able to live on Earth, there's, you know, this pandemic, that. There's a panic going around almost all the time, and it's particularly, this is what drives the World Health Organization, the World Food Program, the United Nations, UNESCO, and a whole lot of NGOs worldwide. And the main reason why people are willing to give up their freedoms is because they perceive government as offering them salvation. So the governments of the world and the experts often sell fear so that you rush to the government or the UN or the EU or some big super government to free you. And then Hollywood produces how many of these cataclysmic apocalyptic films where, you know, where the aliens are going to invade or tsunamis are going to sweep over your city or whatever it is. But all it can save you is these experts, these scientists who probably made the problem in the first place.
Who was the person who said the most frightening thing to hear is someone telling you, I'm from the government, I'm here to help you?
Ronald Reagan. President Ronald Reagan, I heard him say that personally, first time I was in America back in January 1988, and he starts a speech of the most frightening words in the English language. Was, I'm from the government. I'm here to help you. And the entire audience just packed up laughing because they know, you know, if you really believe in the government, you're deluded. And all over the country now, we've got people, you've got to fill in these forms, you've got to take this temperature, you've got to wear this mask, you've got to this, that, and the other. Why? The government cares. Oh, the government that's stealing us blind, the people who are stealing billions and trillions of rands every year, who's stealing a third of our gross domestic product, they care about us? Really? If they cared about us, maybe they'd do something against crime or violence or corruption. Or maybe they'd stop stealing from the people they came to care for. But this is the problem. All too often, we're trusting experts who've been proved wrong. Their polls have been proved to be psychological warfare to discourage opposition and to encourage their side. They continually, totally out of the ballpark. Just think of how many predictions you've heard, either from polls or from experts or problem or another, and they've been proven false. How many more times can they cry wolf before we stop taking them seriously?
Well, now, after hearing all of this, all of these topics and issues that would drive any sane person who thinks of themselves mad, what can we learn from the Bible? And what can we do in this situation? How do we remain informed and how do we prepare ourselves?
Yes, well, definitely getting to the Bible is key. The Bible says you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. We need to be people grounded in reality. We're surrounded by fake news and fake elections and fake votes and fake education, more like indoctrination, fake pandemics. There's one pandemic that everyone's got, and that's sin. And that's a pandemic that guaranteed to kill 100%. So everyone on the earth right now will die unless the Lord comes back before we die. And then you still got to face one day of judgment. But the odds are every single person can die. That's how it's been so far. So sin is a true pandemic. We got fake entertainment. We got fake history. We need a heavy dose of reality. And so starting off with the scripture and realizing we need to evaluate things in accordance with God's word, both what's right, what's wrong, what's according to God's law, what's in violation of his law. And this will help us to expose the liars and the deceivers, because the Bible tells us to beware lest any man deceive you, and that Satan deceives the whole world, and that the day will come when God will send an angel to bind Satan that he might deceive the nations no more. So plainly the scripture teaches that there is a deception across the world and that there are a huge amount, in fact, the vast majority of people are being deceived and on a broad way to destruction. So we're not meant to trust in those people who are speaking about a one world government, a one world economic system, and a one world religion. That is something warned about in Revelation 13. It's marks of the beast. You don't want to go there. Bad. So we want reality. We want to have Christian reality. Some things that would help getting a perspective of this would be looking at the film, for example, Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed. Now, this is done by Ben Stein, who normally is a comedian, but this is actually quite serious, even though he does it in a very humorous way, where he goes and he interviews vast amounts of top-class scientists, some of the leaders in their fields, who were expelled from the universities where they were professors and so on because they believed in intelligent design. Now, you would think when you see intelligent design, it shows there must be a designer. When you can see the intricacies of DNA and the amazing system that we've got in this world, which is how everything works, that we just close enough to the sun for life. But if we were any further or any closer, no life could exist. It would either be too hot or too cold. We're just at the exact distance of the moon from the Earth, you know, the tidal waves, and without the tides of the ocean, everything would be so polluted, and including the oxygen, and just the privileged planet, the evidence of design on every single side and how you get order throughout the world, which means that, well, can nothing create nothing? How can once upon a time nothing become something and that something become everything and a whole lot of time and a whole lot of nothing make everything? And Ben Stein goes through and finds literally in universities, all top universities around America in particular, there's a campaign to get rid of, not merely creation scientists, not merely those scientists who are Christians, but to get rid of even those who are not Christians, but who believe in intelligent design, which is hardly theistic Christianity. It's just they believe there's intelligent design in the planet, which obviously there is. How can you deny it? And he finally gets the author of The God Delusion, Richard Dawkins, who wrote The God Delusion. He's a professor at Oxford. He gets him for an interview and asks him, where does he think life came from on the planet? And you're expecting some kind of atheist answer. And here's Richard Dawkins, who's made a living ridiculing Christians, saying aliens from outer space. And Ben Stein questions, you think aliens seeded life on Earth? Yes. Where did those aliens come from? He thinks they were seeded by other aliens from other places in outer space. And where did they come from? And this is just so bizarre. And here you've got Richard Dawkins arguing about how nothing became something. And you know, it's very interesting because to define nothing, how did nothing become something? And it's laughable. But this is where they are. They're ridiculing Christians for what they think are. How can you believe that? That takes so much faith. It takes far more faith to believe in evolution. That whole lot of goo went through the zoo and ended up to be you. Or that you came from nothing, you're going nowhere, life is meaningless. Well, how do you get all these self-replicating bits that became giraffes and dinosaurs? So extraordinary how there is a whole lot of experts out there punishing people for thinking a thought crime. So we've got to get good material that combat that. And I'd say Answers in Genesis are absolutely superb. Way of the Masters produced some excellent books and films. And I'd highly recommend The Atheist Delusion and Evolution versus God as two excellent films. And, of course, from a non-Christian perspective, but a very humorous one, Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed. Those would just give you some example of how you can see the people who claim to be experts are running an inquisition, like a Spanish Inquisition, against those who believe in intelligent design. And it's so nefarious that they will not allow. They say the experts agree to this, but there are thousands of experts, PhDs, double doctorates, people of the highest level in their fields in science who have been excluded from the realm of experts because they don't believe what we want them to believe. And so you've got these self-proclaimed experts who are ignoring real experts and who are deplatforming thousands of doctors, scientists, and others because, well, they don't agree with them. So when they say all scientists agree, that's not true. All doctors agree or medical science agrees. You know, the World Health Organization doesn't even agree. You've got some World Health Organization people who are for lockdowns. You've got other World Health Organization people saying lockdowns are the worst thing it can do. It's causing more problems, more poverty, more starvation, more disease. And the worst thing any government can do in the face of any virus is lockdown.
Exist, if you're a meaning.
So literally, you've got out there when they say, this is the news. In many cases, you're getting the views. And when they say experts, say, which experts? Because, you know, an expert, X as it has been, a spurt is a drip under pressure. Who makes them an expert? Who declared them an expert? And how come they ignore people who really are knowledgeable and experienced in their field? Well, oh, no, but that's a thought crime and we can't accept it. So we're living in a situation of an alternative reality where we've got a bunch of people with a nefarious agenda, a globalist agenda, trying to discredit anyone who's got a politically incorrect position, a thought crime, and trying to bully us into accepting their version of reality, which does not tally with either the Bible or science or observable reality or history.
But if you're someone who's listening to this and you don't agree and you say, no, these are just false conceptions or even, well, what's the word that they use? When something is...
A thought crime?
No. I can't remember the word. But another way that you can look at it, just to simplify it, is it's business. When you look at media, when you look at big tech and big government, it's a business. We're all trying to make money. And the fear that they instill in people creates that money. You need to buy this vaccine for you to be safe. So people go buy that vaccine. Who created the vaccine? Who is behind the vaccine?
Or you must pay for the test, which is very expensive as well.
But now, to end off, is there anything else that you would like to add or upcoming events that you would like to speak about? How can we get involved? How can we become more knowledgeable about
these realities? I think the most important thing is, of course, get on the mailing lists of groups that will give you alternative insights into what's going on. And so, for example, we've got the Frontline Fellowship email list. If you're not on the Frontline email list, email mission@frontline.org.za, mission@frontline.org.za, and get yourself placed on the email list. That's one way. Visit the www.frontlinemissionsa.org website, and the Henry Morton Stanley School of Christian Journalism Facebook page and HMS School of Christian Journalism.org website has got a whole lot of links to various trusted media sources, alternative sources around the world, which include groups like Answers in Genesis, for example, and WorldNet Daily and Assist News and many good sources. So there are alternatives, and you should not trust the evolutionary globalist experts. Also listen to the other side. Hear what Answers in Genesis got to say, and the Creation Science Institute and other groups like that. There are those who are looking at real facts and are not censoring others. And I think it's super important. Now, one really super effective thing to help, particularly for young people who are preparing to go to university or anything like that, we recommend the Biblical Worldview Summit. So the Biblical Worldview Summit, or BWS, we run in January every year. Next one's coming up the 4th to the 11th of January in 2021. So it's held near Cape Town. Biblical Worldview Summit, you can go on the frontlinemissionsa.org website, look under upcoming events. You can see some videos of previous ones and some of what's planned and some of the programs we deal with. So the Biblical Worldview Summit, 4th to 11th of January 2021, that'd be an excellent one-week crash course in worldviews so you understand where the humanists are coming from, the New Ages, the Marxists, and you can look at everything from economics to entertainment, education, a whole range of things from creation science onto the different issues that affect us on a daily basis, crime and punishment and so on, and solutions, practical solutions. Because what we are being given right now is a shut up, take the test, take the vaccine, stay in place,
don't have an economic opinion, suicide. Just follow along, be a sheep.
Repeat the mantra, bah, four legs good, two legs bad, that sort of thing, you know, Animal Farm stuff. And if you will be a good person and do everything that they want you to do, they won't cause you any grief.
And in fact, I really want to add to that how the realities that we are facing now, a lot of people say, no, okay, well, this is just like, you're the only person that thinks that. George Orwell, when did he write his book 1984?
1948.
In 1948, a book which predict, I mean, obviously the title was just, he just swapped the numbers around, but already from the 1940s, even the 1930s,
he was seeing it.
This was a reality, and he definitely wasn't the only one. That book exploded, and it is still a reality today.
Super relevant today. And of course, how did George Orwell see it, many people say? Well, first of all, he was a policeman, and then he was a newspaper editor, and he worked for the BBC, and he was in the British Department of Propaganda during the Second World War, and he was a communist who went to Russia and saw the Soviet Union under Joseph Stalin, and he came back disillusioned. He'd seen paradise, and he realized it's more like hell and perdition. So he exposed it, first of all, in Animal Farm, and then in 1984. And in fact, when he spoke about the Ministry of Truth, he based it on his experience in BBC called it Mini-Truth, Ministry of Truth. And Ministry of Truth deals in lies. The Ministry of Love deals with torture. Ministry of Peace deals with war. And Ministry of Plenty deals with shortages and starvation and rationing. And all of this he saw in the Soviet Union, and he also saw in wartime Britain in the propaganda partners, and he predicted the way we were going. He could see. And it's almost prophetic. It's extraordinary. Thought police prosecuting you for thought crimes. When I studied this book as a set work book in the 1970s in Bulawayo, I never imagined that you could get into trouble for something you thought. And you'd have these people down on you because of a thought crime. And yet here we are in 2020. We've got thought crimes and we've got thought police all over the world. So it's very important. Don't trust the experts. Don't trust the polls. In many cases, you're dealing with psychological warfare. And you know that the fact checkers are actually just fact censors and fact blockers.
Yes. Well, thank you so much to everyone for tuning in, and we pray that you will get more involved and more aware of the realities that we are facing today. Thank you for tuning in, and God bless, and we will see you next time.